Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Good morning and welcome to Africa Link. I am Jane Ayeko Kumet in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, South Africans express their disappointment with President Jacob Zuma after he apologized but refused to resign.
I am not satisfied at all. I feel like he's just buying face.
Please, he's abused us as a nation. Where we would expect the president to put us first, he's put himself first. What's going on in the country now is just bad news. That's my opinion.
In South Sudan, there is hope that the war could soon come to an end.
Very soon, we shall form the government of national unity. And the first vice president will be here. We shall be here, all of us, receiving him. Let the people of South Sudan know that peace now is being implemented.
And we shall also find out how food shortage is affecting internally displaced people in Nigeria. Stay tuned.
Top story.
South Africa's President Jacob Zuma's troubles don't seem to come to an end. On Sunday, Zuma reminded South Africans that he's still their leader and deserves respect. Calls for his resignation have increased after the Constitutional Court ruled he had violated the Constitution by using taxpayers' money to upgrade his Nkandla residence. As Zubri Govende reports, many citizens are feeling disillusioned with his presidency.
The matter has caused a lot of frustration and confusion, for which I apologize on my behalf and on behalf of government.
When President Jacob Zuma made this surprise apology regarding the Nkandla scandal, most people expected that he would at the same time announce his retirement from office. But his failure to do so has stirred the anger of not only opposition parties and members of the public, but also leaders from within the ruling ANC. These include veteran freedom fighters such as Ahmed Kathrada, Andrew Malengeni, Dennis Goldberg, and Mafuzo Musimang, former Speaker of the National Assembly, Dr. Frene Ginwala, and the former Treasurer General of the ruling ANC, Matthews Pozwa. Musimang, who is now part of the non-government organization Corruption Watch, reiterated the stances of his fellow veterans when he said if he was in the president's shoes, he would step down with immediate effect.
I must say I was very, very sad because the judgment was being passed on a person that I've known for quite some time, a person who is essentially a very good, charming and amiable person, but who had come upon a very difficult time and who did ultimately deserve the judgment that he got.
The calls by the veteran freedom fighters and others for Zuma to step down will be taken a step forward on Tuesday when a motion for his impeachment will be debated. The leader of the official Democratic Alliance opposition, Musi Maimane, reacted to Zuma's apology by saying that South Africans should unite to impeach the president.
I think this is the president obfuscating facts, arguing that he's not culpable. And I think in this instance, he's certainly misleading South Africans. And that's why we should unite to have President Zuma impeached.
Reacting to the president's apology and impeachment calls, the Secretary General of the ruling ANC, Gwede Mantashe, told reporters the ANC is not perturbed by the calls for Zuma's impeachment.
The call for impeachment is nothing new, nor is it genuine. It's an ongoing election platform ploy resuscitated every single year by the opposition in the form of either a vote of no confidence or now the impeachment call. So from where we're seated, we are not surprised by the opposition calling for impeachment.
While current ANC leaders in government and outside acknowledge that they respect and uphold the constitution, it appears that the party is not prepared to ditch Zuma as the nation gears up for local government elections. Most South Africans are becoming increasingly disillusioned with Zuma's leadership.
I am not satisfied at all. I feel like he's just buying face.
Please, he's abused us as a nation. Where we would expect the president to put us first, he's put himself first.
What's going on in the country now is just bad news. That's my opinion.
That report was compiled by Zubri Govende. Now, one of the leading critics of President Zuma has been Dennis Goldberg. The 82-year-old is a former ANC spokesperson and was a friend to the late President Nelson Mandela. He spoke to Crispin Mwakideo about what he thinks about President Zuma and the ANC.
Before the Constitutional Court ruling, I called on President Zuma to step down in the interest of the African National Congress as the only possible leader of the transformation of our country. And he has become a political lightning conductor for all the opposition. And therefore, it's time for this previously heroic leader to make another heroic decision, and that's to step down in the interest of the ANC and the country.
The ANC has so far been supporting President Jacob Zuma. They came out recently with the Gupta Gate scandal saying that they still are backing the president. Do you think they have or they could change their tact now and force him to resign?
It would be much better if he simply repeated what is being reported as an offer to resign, and the fear that this would cause such damage to the organization shortly before local government elections that it was turned down. But it is clear now that it would serve the purpose of the ANC to start cleaning the house.
But then if he indeed resigns, who is better placed to now take over the position?
I'm not going to speculate about who. I'm sure there's going to be enough jockeying for position. They don't need me to add to it. There are a number of people who I believe are capable. They've held high office and they know what it's about. I would not be surprised if there's a call for the former President Motlanthe to be the caretaker president again, with somebody as his deputy to be ready to take over in 2 years' time. There are a number of experienced people.
The opposition Democratic Alliance wants to impeach President Jacob Zuma. But he is no stranger to these sort of political storms, and he has weathered some of them before. Do you think he can manage to get out of this impeachment process?
Yes,
you think this
will be made of Teflon, he thinks he is, but he isn't. And I don't think the impeachment proceedings will succeed because the ANC has a majority and the ANC members will vote as ordered to vote, as it happens in political parties in parliaments. But there is a time when I think the leadership of the ANC needs to avoid the impeachment by asking politely for the president to stand down in the electoral interest of the African National Congress, and that means in the interests of the country as a whole.
South African anti-apartheid activist Dennis Goldberg.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
There is a sense of hope that South Sudan's civil war is nearing an end. The government and a local rebel movement in Yamboi County of Western Equatorial State on Saturday signed a final peace agreement to end years of violent conflict. Meanwhile, rebel leader Riek Machar is this week expected in the capital, Juba, to take up a post of deputy president. This is in line with the formation of a transitional government of national unity, which many hope will usher peace. James Shimanyula reports.
The capital Juba, 25 kilometers around it, have been demilitarized, while 5,000 lightly armed guards have secured barracks, bases and warehouses. This is all part of the security arrangements in preparation for the arrival of rebel leader Riek Machar. South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makuei says the process of transporting Machar's top civilian officials and soldiers to South Sudan capital Juba is underway ahead of his arrival.
We'll continue to transport them, and I hope that the required number that is supposed to report to Juba will be here, and thereafter we will expect the arrival of Dr. Riek Machar so that we establish the transitional government of national unity.
Rebel leader Riek Machar has failed to show up in Juba 7 times, citing incomplete security arrangements. But now even the head of Riek Machar's advance team to Juba, Taban Dengai, concurs with the country's information minister that a unity government is now imminent.
I agree with the minister that very soon we shall form the government of national unity. And the first vice president will be here. We shall be here, all of us, receiving him. Let the people of South Sudan know that peace now is being implemented.
Former Botswana President Festus Mogae, tasked with overseeing the formation of the transitional government, has issued a swift and timely strong message to Riek Machar and his principal political and military opponent, President Salva Kiir.
I will repeat to them that You know, the condition in which the ordinary people are is undesirable, totally, totally undesirable. And that's because of the leadership, it's the fault of the leadership. This is a potentially rich country, and there is a willingness on the part of the international community to help the people of South Sudan.
The people of South Sudan have experienced little if no peace at all since the country gained independence from Sudan in 2011. A power battle between Machar and Kiir in December 2013 plunged the youngest nation on earth into a civil war which has killed tens of thousands and displaced millions.
James Shimanyula reporting. Now, in Nigeria, increasing food scarcity has forced people to abandon their homes and opt for internally displaced people's camps. Mostly affected are those displaced by the Boko Haram terrorists in the northeastern part of the country. Analysts say lack of farming activities and measures by the government to shut down some markets in Borno or Niobe states resulted in worsening the current food scarcity in the region. Muhammad Alamin reports.
One of the aftermath of Boko Haram insurgency is the current food crisis being experienced in the northeastern region of the country. According to United Nations, 7 million of people lack sufficient food to eat, while about one-third of them are in need of urgent food aid. As a result of the food shortages, people who were forced out of their homes are now leaving their host families and relocating into the camps of the internally displaced persons, IDPs. This was disclosed last week by the European Commission's humanitarian arms, which stated that 9 in 10 of Nigeria's 2.2 million internally displaced persons are living with host families in the northeast rather than in the camps. Food shortages are adding tensions in many households. Hadiza Maazu, a political analyst, suggests that lack of farming activities resulted in worsening the current food scarcity in the region.
Foodstuffs is not sufficiently available and very expensive as well. Most of these villagers abandon their homes and farmland and reside at the IDP camp for a better living where they can get at least 3 square meals a day. So we are pleading to the government, both state and federal, to please encourage farmers by providing them with security and farming incentives so as to produce more food for consumption for their own better living.
This is also the view of European Commission's humanitarian arm. It says that the amount of land being used to grow food has dropped by almost 70% over the past years as Boko Haram violence has disrupted farming and driving people off their land. Umar Babo Kumu, a journalist in Gombe, believes that the IDPs have no alternative rather than rushing to camps where 3 meals a day is a guarantee.
As we know, IDP camps are being supported by NEMA and other international agencies. Some families prefer to join the IDPs in the camps because there is free food and they feel more secured. They can get about 3 square meals, no matter how, a day. So people feel it is justified because the food crisis does not only affect the IDPs, even ordinary citizens are affected.
Borno State Governor Alhaji Kashim Shettima recently said world needs to pay more attention to the region in order to avert a worse crisis after the ongoing Boko Haram's crisis is over.
Mohammed Alamin. Also in Nigeria, the leader of Ansaru Jihadist Group, a Boko Haram splinter group ideologically aligned to Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, has been arrested. Khalid al-Banawi is one of the 3 Nigerians listed by Washington among the especially designated global terrorists. Crime Fighters is up next. Have fun.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Great to have you with us for the 7th episode of Crime Fighters Land of Chongwe, entitled Corruptible versus Incorruptible. After Chief Awombo was found dead on the flower farm of Roses International, Interior Minister Kuzacha and the head of National Intelligence Services Zambawa Zamba decided to hide the fact that the chief had been murdered from the public. But Private Detective Mweri is investigating nonetheless. Last time, she seemed convinced that the flower farmer worker Zamari played an important role in Chief Awombo's death. As she was telling Inspector Wamto about this, someone vandalized her car. Let's join Weri and Inspector Wamto as they inspect Weri's car outside the police station.
It's okay, Mweri. You can switch off the alarm.
You see, Momto? You see how I'm being threatened? Look what they wrote on the windscreen.
We know your every move before you even make it. Stop playing with fire.
I can't go back home. Whoever did this definitely knows where I live.
So where do you plan to spend the night?
I don't know. A hotel, maybe? Or a friend's place? Can I take my car now?
Not yet. I'd like to check it for fingerprints, though I'm pretty sure whoever's behind this has been careful not to leave any tracks.
So I'm stuck with no car and some unknown people are trying to kill me. That's just great.
Listen, I don't have a car, but I'm willing to accompany you wherever you want to go. I'm sorry about this incident. I promise I'll follow it up. But right now there's just too much going on. Inspector Mwamto speaking. Hello.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello?
My name is Membe.
Membe? Hello?
I'm calling from Chongwe. Something terrible.
Hello? 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 I can't hear you clearly.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, police.
That was some girl called Membe or Tembe from Chongwe, but...
Djembe? Was that Djembe?
Yeah, I guess so. Why the excitement? Who is she?
Djembe is one of my insiders. You know, ears to the ground.
What? You even have spies working for you? Who are you? Some kind of lady mafia boss?
You've been watching too many movies, Inspector. I wouldn't call Djembe or Akwaba spies. They're more like non-violence activists. What did Djembe say?
Nothing. The reception was so bad I couldn't hear a thing. Probably something to do with the chief's burial tomorrow.
Inspector.
You can call me Mwamto.
Okay, Inspector Mwamto. I think you should try to find out why Djembe called. And you need to take Zumari in for questioning.
Yes, madam. Of course, madam. But first we need to move your car to a safe location where we can check it over.
Mwamto?
Yes, Mweri. What can I do for you?
I know it's probably too much to ask. But may I quickly use the internet? I urgently need to send an email.
Here at the police station? No, I'm sorry. I can't give you access. It's forbidden. Strictly forbidden. But there's an internet cafe right across the street.
Perfect.
You promised me, Zamba. You assured me you had things under control.
Kuzacha, trust me. I do have things under control. Yes, the chief is dead, but everyone believes he was killed by a wild animal.
You must be the dumbest intelligence officer in the world. Do you truly believe the nation bought your lie?
I have no reason to think it didn't. We've closed all the loopholes, and as soon as Awombo is buried, this nightmare will be over.
This nightmare has just begun. It's playing out right in front of you. It seems you're still deep asleep, Zamba. Wake up!
What do you mean?
Does the name Mweri ring a bell for you?
Oh yeah, she's one of those noisy public nuisances who call themselves activists.
No, you forgot to add that she's also a private detective.
I know, Kuzacha. But she mainly investigates cases to do with land grabbing.
And Chief Awombo's case has to do with vote rigging, does it?
Don't tell me she's been following up on the murder of Chief Awombo. I had no idea. How did that escape me?
You know, Zamba, you are a waste of taxpayers' money. I want you to resign as the country's intelligence chief with immediate effect.
Come on, you're not serious. Kuzacha, you're my cousin. We share the same blood. You can't do that to me.
That's where you go wrong, Zamba. I am the interior minister of this country. And although I'm your cousin, in this case, money is stronger than blood. You are fired.
Huh?
Mwamto, you don't have to hang around me like some kind of bodyguard. I'm not a diva.
After what just happened to your car, I think it's better if I do.
But you're snooping. I need some privacy here to write my email. Why don't you try to call Jembe again?
Mweri, may I ask who you're writing to?
I beg your pardon? Are you investigating me now? Or could it be that you're jealous?
None of the above. I sometimes find it hard to curb the policeman in me, that's all. Oh, it's almost 6 p.m. Hey, Liz.
Yes?
Excuse me, do you mind switching on the radio for the 6 o'clock bulletin?
Of course, Inspector.
Oh, I see you all know each other very well around here.
Uh-huh. Do I sense some jealousy from you now?
Me? Jealous? Huh. You wish.
Good evening and welcome to the news at 6. We begin with some breaking news. Zamba Wazamba, the country's intelligence chief, has just resigned.
What?
No reason has been given, but President Imani has accepted Zamba's sudden resignation.
No.
We'll bring you more information as soon as it comes in.
This can't be true. Zamba has quit? Something's not right. Mweri, I'm sorry, but I have to go back to my post.
Wow, everything's happening so fast. I'm glad I managed to send my email to the press.
What email? To the press? I don't follow you.
I've just sent an email to all the local media outlets telling them the truth. Chief Awombo wasn't killed by an animal. He was murdered.
No. You didn't just do that.
Oh, yes, I did. Come on, Mwamto. People deserve to know the truth. It's my job.
Just as I was beginning to like you, you go and do something as stupid as this.
Mwamto, stop. What are you doing?
What does it look like? I'm arresting you for endangering the peace of this country by distributing false and unsubstantiated information.
Are you kidding? Mwamto, I trusted you.
You're coming with me, Mweri.
Wait, please wait. I haven't even paid for using the internet.
You don't have to. The cyber cafe is mine.
Once again, Mweri finds herself under arrest. But does Inspector Wamto really mean to put her in jail? And as the funeral of Chief Awombo approaches, will Zumari succeed with his plan to reclaim the land of Chongwe? Tune in next time for the final episode in this series. You can always listen to this episode or previous ones again by visiting our website at dw.com/crimefighters or on Facebook. Until we meet again, stay safe.
Tune in on Thursday for another chance to listen to Crime Fighters. But before we go, here is a reminder of our top stories. Nigeria's military says it has arrested the leader of the Ansaru jihadist group, and South Africans are unhappy with their president. That's it for today. For your opinion and comments, send us a message to +491609575910. You can also send us an email to feedback.africa@dw.com. For now, thank you for listening. I am Jane Ayeko-Kumet saying have a nice start into the new week.